Believer's Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with a word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you, and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen.
Sacrifice of thanksgiving.
Lesson 217, The Progress of Faith. In our last lesson, we learned that Christians should expect chastening from our Heavenly Father as a true mark of being God's child. We also heard a serious warning about God's fearful judgment on those who refuse to believe and enter into the new covenant provided through the blood of Jesus Christ. Today we have reached the final chapter in the book of Hebrews, where we will hear a variety of exhortations about Christian progress in the life of faith. The Christian life, once entered into, should progress and bear fruit for God. And in this chapter there are many instructions for believers to help them progress in their life of faith. He begins by exhorting the believers to let brotherly love continue. This means that the love was already working among them, but they should nurture and sustain that love by repeating acts of kindness and consideration which foster more love. They could demonstrate love by entertaining strangers and entertain angels as Abraham did unknowingly. Christians ought to be mindful of prisoners who are suffering for the sake of the gospel because we belong to the same body of Christ. He then speaks about the honor of marriage and how God will judge all fornicators and adulterers. Sex should be understood as God's wonderful gift to a married couple, not to be practiced outside of the marriage covenant. He then adds that we should not covet, but be content with what we have, since Jesus has promised to always be with us. As we think about the Lord's companionship, we can say boldly, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Those who govern the local assembly are elders. They teach us the word of God and live by faith. As we watch their lives and see how faith works in them, we are to remember them and follow their good examples. He then points out that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This powerful truth should comfort and encourage us in a world constantly changing with no certainties and many challenges. He warns also against following strange doctrines. Our heart is to be established by God's grace and not a preoccupation with dietary laws. Contrasting with the Old Testament priest who ate from the offerings that were made in the tabernacle, he says that Christians have a new altar from which they partake. The sacrifices made in the tabernacle were taken outside the camp and the body of the animal was burned. This was to prefigure that Jesus would be brought outside the city of Jerusalem, where he would suffer and die for us. As believers, we are to also go with Jesus outside the camp and bear his reproach. Though this statement seems a vague reference, it likely has reference to the Jewish Christians taking their stand with Jesus outside of formal Judaism. As they identified themselves as believers in Jesus, they would have to suffer just as Jesus suffered for us, because their fellow Jews would persecute them. He further points out that in this world Christians have no continuing city, perhaps prophetically alluding to the city of Jerusalem that would be soon destroyed by the Romans. Christians are also to grow in their praise to God with thanksgiving and sharing with the needs of others. Praise for God and giving to others are both considered sacrifices and acceptable ways of worshiping God. When we share with others, God is very pleased with us, for it reflects his own heart. Giving is not something we are to forget. Sometimes, while we are busy with our own affairs, we don't take time to consider the needs of those who are less fortunate than us. If we are to grow in our Christian lives and please God, it is important that we adopt a mind of love and concern for the need of others around us. There is also the need for Christians to respect and obey their spiritual leaders, so that they can do their work joyfully and not with grief. They are said to watch out for our souls. Elders are responsible before God for the spiritual nurture of the believers under their care in the local church. This is a sober thought for elders who must watch over the flock and instruct them in the ways of the Lord. It is also important for every Christian to understand their responsibility to recognize and submit under God's established rule within the church. To live in rebellion to God by failing to listen to your spiritual leaders is not profitable. We must be sure our leaders are teaching us the Word of God faithfully, But when we know they are speaking for God, we must listen to and obey them. The writer closes the letter to the Hebrews with a request for the believers to pray for him, that he might be able to see them soon. It appears from comments made that the writer, most likely Paul, was in Rome and a prisoner as he wrote this, for he mentions Timothy, who was released from prison, and we know Timothy was a frequent companion of Paul in his labors for the Lord. The benediction at the close of Hebrews is very beautiful and worth repeating. Now the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. It is clear that in the mind of the writer, the Christian life was to be lived in a way that is busy with work for the Lord and with behavior that brings pleasure to God. As we grow in our faith, we will increasingly shape our decisions and actions by the will of God and not our own will. We will also honor the Lord by our willingness to work and suffer for the sake of the gospel. The Lord Jesus will be glorified as we answer to the sacrifice he made on our behalf. He provides closing greetings from the Christians with him and all in Italy, asking that greetings be sent to the rulers among them. The letter to Hebrews has been an in-depth study of contrasting the Old Covenant with its priesthood and sacrifices with the New Covenant sealed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament foreshadows the New, and now that we have the reality in Christ, we no longer need the pictures which were only intended to point us to the reality. Salvation offered through faith in Jesus Christ is offered to all. We put ourselves in great danger if we refuse God's great salvation. God's way to get to heaven is only through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you want God's salvation today, you have to come to Jesus in faith, confess your sin to him, and ask him to save you. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8.
Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise.
And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we learned that growing in our faith involves our love for God's people, respect for marriage, sharing with Christ in suffering, overflowing with praise, thanksgiving, and helping others. It also involves our respect and obedience to our spiritual leaders, serving diligently in the church to carry out God's will. Someone might ask the question, why must Christians obey their spiritual leaders? Christians are supposed to obey all authorities, whether civil, domestic, sovereign, or spiritual. The truth is borne out in Romans chapter 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2, and here in Hebrews 13. Ultimately, God's authority is to be recognized and submitted to as our Creator and provider of our redemption. All authorities are under God and is the means by which order and peace is maintained in all societies. Even in heaven, and especially so, there is order and obedience, for that is how God has established all things for his pleasure and glory. In the Christian church, God establishes leaders who are responsible for the spiritual care of God's people. As shepherds of God's children, these leaders teach the word of God and live a godly example for others to follow. They must also be aware of spiritual problems and challenges facing God's people and address these by applying the principles taught in God's Word. They are not designated for our happiness and success in this world, but rather are to care for and maintain our spiritual health, so that we may walk in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord. As those who offer spiritual help, they guide and direct us through the Word of God, using God's authority and not their own. Therefore, when we listen to their counsel, being spokesmen for God, then to reject their counsel is to be in danger of rejecting God's counsel. This is a prideful and rebellious way to act, and suggests that we think we are wiser than God. I suppose one difficulty we might have in obeying the elders of the church is that we recognize in them that they are not without fault. When we examine their failures, we lose our respect and are not willing to listen and obey, for we see them as no better than ourselves. Now, it may be the case that our particular spiritual leaders have glaring faults, but we should discern whether their counsel is from God's word or not. If they speak the word of God faithfully, then it is not their word that we are to follow, but God's word. So even when we recognize their fault, we should still grant them the opportunity to speak truth and correction into our lives. We do this because we are not accountable for them, but accountable for ourselves. In fact, as believers, we ought to be humble enough to receive advice or correction from anyone, for who knows, but it might be the very means by which God gets our attention. Here in the final chapter of Hebrews, we are given the reasons why Christians must obey their elders in the church. The reason given is because they must give an account of our souls to God. The local elders of a church are responsible before God for the spiritual welfare of those in their fellowship. God will hold them accountable for how they carried out their responsibilities for each one under their care. This is a double-edged sword, because while they might do all in their power to help individual Christians in the fellowship, those individuals might refuse to cooperate with the elders. On the other hand, if the elders are slack in their shepherding care, then spiritual harm might come to the members of the church, and they will have to answer to God for their slothful leadership. The weight of responsibility falls upon the elders to look to each under their care and seek their spiritual nurture. With such a heavy weight of responsibility before God, their task might seem overwhelming. At times it also may seem rather discouraging when they see those under their spiritual care departing from the ways of the Lord. It is clear that each person must give an account of himself to the Lord. But in a special sense, the elders of each local church must also give an account not only of themselves, but also all those Christians under their care. If they did not teach the word carefully, and by that led some down the wrong path, they must answer to the Lord. With this in mind, we can appreciate how serious a matter it is for believers to respond in a cooperative way with their elders. To fight against them or refuse their counsel is to invite God's displeasure and chastening hand. Another reason to obey our elders is also given in verse 17. This is that we ought to provide joy to our elders who labor so diligently for our spiritual care. The appropriate response to their love and interest in our soul is to allow them to do their work with joy and not with grief. There is no profit to the person who fights against his spiritual leadership, and thus his own spiritual welfare. It will not be to his advantage, and the Lord will ensure that he suffers chastening until he submits to his leadership. A child who disobeys his father will suffer punishment, and a child of God who will not submit to godly leadership will suffer the consequences. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student.
Jesus sent me with a stranger, wandering from the home of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Unto grace how great I did.
If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins, and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus.
Take and seal it for thy courts above.
Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believers Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
As strong and as high as the mountains, so great is my love for you. As endless and deep as the heavens is the strength of my love for you. I'll never leave or forsake you. Your name is written on my heart. Your days are held within my hand. For I have set your life apart, and I will tell you once again. I'll never leave or forsake you. I'll never leave or forsake you. I'll never leave or forsake you. Sands of the desert is the sum of my thoughts for you. As constant as evening and morning, ever faithful my love for you. I'll never leave or forsake you. Your name is written on my heart. Your days are held within my hand. For I have set your life apart, and I will tell you once again. I'll never leave or forsake you. I'll never leave or forsake you.